Lord's house this evening. Amen? Amen. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Well, I'm thankful that He's on my side. I might not always seem to be on His, but I'm glad to know I'm on the winning side tonight, and I'm on His side, and Him on mine, and I'm thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us. Brother Don, back there in the very back, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? Church, stand with me. Choir, standing. Let's turn over to page number 177. Let's sing together, Are You Washed in the Blood? Page 177. All right, on the first and last now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Last now, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the our choir? Sing the chorus again. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, church, choir. You can be seated as well. Again, it's so good to see you here again this evening. And I know the ladies had COU. I trust you ladies had a wonderful meeting there. And we had a little choir practice this evening before the service started. I'm thankful. And we missed the choir that's not here. We got about this many that's missing. And we trust that they are, Lord, give them traveling mercies. I know the children's home is gone today, and it's beginning to get into their traveling season. So we really need to lift them up in prayer. Some others are unable to be here today because of sickness. I know Sharon and Jeff are both sick, and we need to continue to pray for the Palmers. And you know exactly what their request is, and we want to lift them up in prayer. I know there are many others. Pastor can probably relate those to you here in a few moments. But it is good to see you here tonight. And more than anything else, it's been good to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today. It was a great message this morning. We're thankful for that. And pray the Lord just continue to be with us. But let's go to Him again in a word of prayer, and I'll ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering tonight. Father, we do love You. And we thank You, Lord, and we are thankful for the opportunity to be back in Your house this evening. Lord, we pray that You would be with us. I pray that You would fill this place with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we may not be much in number, but Lord, our heart is to hear from You tonight. And Lord, we pray that You would just touch us, speak to us. And Lord, I pray that You would be with us in a powerful way. Fill this place with Your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, be in the service, blessing the song service again here in a few moments. In Jesus' name. Amen.
broken by sin and all its illusion. I weighed the gain against the loss. Oh, but I found the answer in the midst of confusion. I found victory at the foot of the cross.
I found victory at the foot of the cross, where the Savior conquered all.
Now I have joy that only He gives me. He saved my soul from eternal loss. Oh, and thank God when I climbed Calvary's mountain, I found victory at the foot of the cross.
I found victory at the foot of the cross, where the Savior conquered it
here tonight, and there is victory at the foot of the cross. Amen. And appreciate the Lord, appreciate you, and ask Lily if she would sing this song tonight, and simply called the truth. And regardless of what the world tries to say that you and I are, or the devil tries to say that you and I are, there's the truth, and the truth comes from God. And He says we're enough, He loves us, and the rest is history. So you pray for Lily as she sings.
How many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, I swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. I used to know who I was. Now I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I'm made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. Truth is I am truly loved by God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to You. And that's the truth. When I feel like there's so much noise living rent-free in my head, Heaven finds me in a still small voice and it sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I'm made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. Truth is I am truly loved by God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to You. And that's the truth. I know who I am, 'cause I know who You are, and I hold Your truth inside of my heart. I know the lies are always gonna try and find me, but I've never been so sure. The truth is I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him smile. I'm made in the image of a perfect King. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. Truth is I am truly loved by God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to You. That's the truth. And that's the truth. What
a blessing tonight. What a blessing. I am my Father's child. And I hope you are tonight. Belong to Him, Jesus. By the word of your testimony, I'm sure you are your Father's child. And what a blessing. Love that song. I really do. All right, we're going to be in Revelation chapter number 22 tonight. And Revelation chapter number 22. A lot of the things that we're going to share tonight, you already know. We're going to mention many verses, and we're going to be repeating a couple different times, two or three times the verses that we're going to share. And so we're going to have not really a classroom-style message tonight, but almost that way. And Revelation chapter number 22, I want to bow for prayer, and then we're going to read one verse, and that is verse number 20. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You. Touch us once again as we open Your Word tonight. Communicate the truths of Your Word to the hearts of Your people. Holy Spirit, do a wonderful, wonderful work like You always do. We love You, we thank You, we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Well, we're living in the end times. You agree with that? Say amen. Things are not getting better, they're getting worse. and not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm not a prophet at all. But according to God's calendar and what's going on in our world, things are getting closer to the Lord's appearing. And tonight, that's what I want to talk about. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20 of Revelation 22, the Bible says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Those are words in red. Amen. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I want to talk to you about the last promise and prayer of the Bible. And notice once again the promise. "He which testifieth these things saith," here's the promise, "surely I come quickly." And here's the prayer. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Again, the last promise and prayer of the Bible. This last promise and prayer here in the Bible, it has to do with one specific event, and that is the rapture of the church. Brother Don, I'm ready for the rapture of the church. Are you ready? I'm ready for the rapture of the church. Church, are you ready? The Lord could rapture us out of here right now, and I would be fine with that. Listen, if Jesus came to this world as predicted in the Old Testament, born of a virgin, a little babe in a manger, to be the Messiah, and He came, don't you think He will uphold His same word that He'll come again? I think so. He's a promise keeper. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is definitely coming back again. And so some people think that the rapture and the second coming are the same event, and that's just not so. Now, it's not my intention to confuse anybody tonight. You've already heard this taught and preached probably most of your life. I could say it this way. The Lord's return is going to be in two phases. Number one, He's going to come back for His church, and then He's going to come back with His church. And so if you hear somebody say the Lord's coming back, well, they're right. The Lord is coming back, but first He's coming back for His own, and then He's coming back with His own. And so we see tonight that the second coming occurs after the tribulation. Now, that's covering Revelation chapters number 6 through 19. We don't have time to get in that tonight. We just want to hit some highlights and some points. Now, the rapture occurs before the tribulation. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Listen to this in verse number 9. The second coming occurs after the tribulation, but the rapture occurs before the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 9, the Bible says, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that verse there, in the flow and the context of this chapter, what Paul's talking about, the Lord's return, he is saying we are safe. We're going to be saved from the wrath to come. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world. There's going to be a 7-year time period by which it occurs. And I want to give this to you in stride, in doses tonight, because it's a whole lot to take in at one time. But that's an example of the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The second coming occurs after the tribulation. The rapture occurs before the tribulation. Tonight, I want to share with you four words and give you four thoughts concerning this last promise and prayer of the Bible. There's the word differences, and that is between the rapture and the second coming. There's the word beliefs concerning the rapture and when it will occur. There's the word verses supporting the rapture being pre-tribulation. And then there's various raptures that have already happened in the Bible. Do you know that? Three raptures already have already happened and occurred. So let me just bring you up to speed and break it down simply so we can all understand. Number one, differences. There are some important differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. At the rapture, believers will meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, if you would. In verse number 17, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Who are the them that we're meeting with in the air along with the Lord? The dead in Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is going to be a great reunion time, church. A great reunion time. And so I'm looking forward to this reunion day, aren't you? And so we see that at the rapture, believers will meet the Lord in the air. But then the second coming, believers will return with the Lord. Look at Revelation, or listen along, 19 in verse number 14. Revelation 19, 14, the Bible says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Has anybody in here ever rode a horse? I haven't, but I'm asking, so I'm raising my hand. Okay, we have a few. We have a lot, okay, who've rode a horse. I've never rode a horse, but the Bible tells me that I will be on a horse. Yeah! Huh? You better watch out. I'm coming back with Jesus. I'll be doing some shouting. I'll be the Lone Ranger, Brother Ceylon. I'll tell you right now. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. So Jesus is on his. We're going to be on one, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Why white and clean? Because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right, let me mention another difference between the two. The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Listen to this. Verse number 13 through 17. This is our deliverance. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead in the grave, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he did, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These words bring comfort, that one day we will be delivered from this place. No more grinding at the job. No more dealing with the world and the world system. And all. No more dealing with the devil and our sinful flesh and all of those things. We will be delivered. The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. Chapter number 5 of the same book, verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we'll be delivered. What a blessing that is. How about another difference? The rapture will be secret and instant. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to this in verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Okay? There's the mystery. There's the secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Someone said one time, that'd be the perfect verse for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Perfect verse for the nursery. Somebody wants to work on that, they can. All right? He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I blink my eye, but you get the idea, the twinkling of the eye, the glimmer of the eye, the sparkle of the eye, the twitch of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a blessing that is. The rapture, it will be secret. It will be instant. But then the second coming, the Bible teaches, it will be visible to all. Revelation chapter number 1. Listen to this in verse number 7. Revelation 1, verse number 7. This is the second coming of Christ, and it will be visible to all. While the rapture of the church, it will be secret and instant. Revelation 1, 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So in his second coming, when he comes back with the church, all eyes will see him, while the rapture of the church will be secret and in an instant. One day, we're just going to be out of here. And there's going to be cars rolling down the road and crashing. There's going to be people missing from their homes. I mean, can you imagine what the news is going to say? Thank you for joining us, 5 o'clock Action News here, Fox 5. Can you believe it? Everybody is missing. Most of the world is missing. There's cars crashing. There's people not showing up. There's 911 calls. I mean, can you imagine the news flash of that taking place? It will be instant. It will be a secret, so to speak, but yet it will be noticed everywhere. And then the second coming of Christ will be visible to all. Let me mention something else. The rapture is imminent. It's going to take place. It could take place at any given moment. Titus chapter number 2. Listen to this. I'll make my way there. Titus 2 verse 13. Titus 2 in verse number 13 says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This verse tells us two things. Number one, he can come at any moment because he tells us to be looking. Looking. It could be any moment. It's imminent. It's going to happen. But then, this is also a verse that tells us that Jesus is God. We could tell our Jehovah Witness friends, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Just take the Jehovah Witnesses to that verse, and that'll shut them down pretty quick. And so we see that there in Titus chapter number 2, verse 13. The rapture is imminent. It could take place at any moment. But the second coming will not occur until certain end time events take place. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let me read you a verse here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. One of the things that will occur in the end times has to occur first before the second coming of Christ is the revelation of the Antichrist. Let me just start reading. Actually, thank you for putting verse 4. Let me just start reading verse number 1 down through verse number 4. That's my fault. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There were some that came through and said that this event already happened. It already happened, and you are going through a time of tribulation. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the revelation of the Antichrist. Okay, so the church will be raptured out of here. The Antichrist will be revealed. And this man of sin, he will offer peace for the world for 3.5 years. And right in the middle of, he will offer peace for 7 years, but for 3.5 years, he will give that peace. And then right in the middle of that 7 years, which is 3.5 years, he will break that peace treaty, and then we will have the great tribulation. It's all the tribulation, but the first 3.5 years is lies. It's deception. By the way that everything is going in America, we see a bunch of lies and deception politically. Well, somebody said the other day, you think that Kamala Harris is the Antichrist? I said, I don't know. I said, before it's revealed, I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know about you. You know? And listen, it could be that the Antichrist is alive right now, just not revealed yet. But the church will be raptured out first. The Antichrist will be revealed, and then the tribulation. And then after those events will come the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's certain events that has to take place first. Now, if the rapture and the second coming were the same event, believers would have to go through the tribulation. And nowhere in the tribulation period is the church mentioned until the church comes back to earth with the Lord in Revelation 19:14, riding on white horses at His second coming. All right, and so tonight, that's point number one, the differences between the rapture and the second coming. Now, what about some beliefs when it comes to the rapture of the church, and whether it's before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? So many people have different opinions and ideas. We are here at Calvary Baptist Church pre-tribulation, we're of the pre-tribulation belief. Pre-tribulation, the rapture will occur before the tribulation. That's what we believe. We are safe from the wrath to come. But then there's the mid-tribulation belief, and that is the rapture will occur in the middle of the tribulation. We will go through some of it. We will go through, in other words, when the Antichrist is revealed and there's 3.5 years of peace, we'll experience that. We'll experience Antichrist. Then we'll be raptured out. That's another belief. The rapture will occur middle of the tribulation. But then there is a post-tribulation belief that the rapture will occur at the end of the tribulation, meaning that we will experience the Antichrist. We will experience him breaking the peace treaty. We'll experience death and violence like you would never believe, the vials of God being poured out upon earth. We will experience all that. Then we will be raptured out. That's false. The only true Bible doctrine concerning the rapture and the tribulation is that we are pre-tribulation. I just mentioned the verses to you. And let me just ask you a question. We are the bride of Christ, correct? He's the groom. All right, here's the question. What man would marry a woman and send her through hell, okay, a literal hell, before starting their life together? What man would do that? Say, I want to marry you, but then literally send them through a type of hell, getting beat up, banged up, whipped, and just all of those things, and then saying, welcome home. That's not true. You see, we are the bride of Christ, and He loves us so much that He's going to take us out of here before the tribulation. What a blessing. All right? And so that's some beliefs. Now, what about, that's beliefs concerning the rapture of the church and the tribulation time. Number three tonight, I want to give you some verses. We've just mentioned some of these verses and perhaps all of them, but we're going to reiterate. Scriptures that teach pre-tribulation rapture. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Once again, the Bible says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. All right? We are no longer under the wrath of God being Christians. Okay? And we are safe, certainly safe from the wrath to come that God is going to pour out upon this earth. For God hath not appointed unto us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. How about that? And then back in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I just want to read these verses to you in its entirety, verse number 1 through 8, verses that teach pre-tribulation rapture. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul is saying, listen, we are not going through the tribulation. We are not going to experience the wrath of God. Don't be troubled in spirit. Don't be soon shaken. Those who said it's already happened, they don't know what they're talking about. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, which we are experiencing some of that, a falling away. Amen. But the second part we won't experience, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now listen to this, verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. There is something holding back the Antichrist. I wonder what it could be. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The Antichrist is already working. There's already a falling away. There's already people loving sin and people calling evil good and all. The mystery of it's already working. The essence of those things, the Antichrist and sin and all of that, is already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What is he talking about? Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, he will be revealed. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is living in believers. And when the rapture of the church takes place, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way. And look at verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. It's because of us. Listen, if this world just knew the truth about what's going to happen, they would get saved. We're the reason, Jesus in us, the body of Christ. We're the reason why the Antichrist is not revealed yet. We're the reason why the 7-year tribulation has not taken place yet. Because we're here. We are what? We are salt. What does salt do? Preserve. Salt preserves. And so one day we're going to be raptured out of here. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, the second coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Satan's going to be working. He's already working now. But when the Antichrist is revealed, oh, he's going to have power and show signs and wonders, but it's all lies. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They're going to believe it. The Antichrist is going to step on the scene and pretty much say, I'm God and I have the answer. And this old world is going to hook, line, and sinker, eat it up. Now, I don't know if we're going to be raptured out of here tonight, next week, or before the election. I don't know if Kamala Harris is the Antichrist or not. But whenever it happens, they're going to claim to be God. They're going to claim to be the one who has all the answers. They're going to claim to have peace and all of that. And this world is going to gobble it up. There's going to be power and signs and lying wonders. And it's going to be strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so with these verses, these are verses that teach pre-tribulation rapture. Thank God we're saved, amen. I don't want to have to go through that. There's actually been times where I've done studies of Revelation. I mean, I went to seminary. I learned it. To be quite honest with you, I enjoy teaching it, but it's hard for some to grab it. And to be quite honest with you again, it's hard, it's challenging to rightly divide end times prophecy. I've done it, but it's easy to lose the listener, to be quite honest with you. But it needs to be preached. Because we are living in the end of times. And so all these things are going to take place. And so we're going to be raptured out of here, thank God. But there were times in my studying during seminary days where I would be studying Revelation and thinking about being raptured out of here. And I actually thought about writing notes to those left behind. You know, leaving Bibles to those left. You say, I didn't think anybody would get saved during the tribulation. Well, some are going to get saved during the tribulation. Those who have never heard the gospel are going to have opportunity. But if they have heard the gospel now, the day of grace, the Holy Spirit's working, and they say no to the gospel now, they'll never say yes to the gospel then. That's why they don't have no say-so then, only those who've never heard. And so I thought about writing a letter and said, hey, my name is Justin Hales. I was a Christian, Baptist preacher. My family was saved. I came to know the Lord. And I just want to let you know, if you've never heard of Jesus, that you can ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to go through this terrible time you're going through, this tribulation time. I thought about that. Isn't that something? Yeah. This is real life stuff. This is going to happen. And so there's verses. There's scriptures that teach pre-tribulation rapture. But then I want to leave you with this tonight. The last word is various. Again, the first word was differences. The second word was beliefs. The third word was verses. The last word is various. There have been various types of raptures in the Bible. Did you know that? Let me mention. Three already occurred, but there's one yet future. First, before I mention these three, these four. The word rapture, we could say, means this, so everybody can understand. To be kidnapped. To be kidnapped. One day we're going to, I know it's probably not the best choice of word used, but one commentator I read after said, we could probably be safe to say kidnap. One day God's going to kidnap us because we belong to Him. But in the Greek, it means harpazo. It means to harpoon. And used to be a show out called Whale Watchers. They would harpoon these whales and bring them in. They would shoot out a javelin with a rope, and it would pull them in. So one day the Lord's going to harpoon us, okay? He is going to take us home. And it means to snatch away. The Bible says that we will be caught up together. We will be raptured. We'll be snatched away. Meaning to take suddenly. And so believers will meet the Lord in the air and go with Him to their eternal home. Now, there's been three raptures and there's one yet future. The first rapture happened to a man named Enoch. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. All these other men lived and died, but Enoch did not die. He was transported to heaven, just like that. He was walking with God, just like any other day, walking with God, talking with God, mentioning God to people. Then one day, man, that felt kind of good. One day, we're going to be coming to church, going to work, doing something, riding down the road, going out to dinner. Just like that. Everything over. That happened to Enoch. Enoch was raptured. Enoch was kidnapped by God. Enoch was harpooned. He was snatched away, taken away suddenly. What about the second guy? What about Elijah? And all these were public events. Elijah experienced a rapture. He was the second to be called up. You know the story, Elijah and Elisha, and the mantle fell from Elijah, and Elisha picked up that mantle and carried the mantle that Elijah once wore. So many pictures this gives. We have an older generation that has been carrying the mantle for years, worshiping God, loving God, giving themselves to the Lord, and they are dying and going home to be with the Lord. Somebody has to pick up that mantle. Somebody has to carry the load. Amen, Brother Spencer? Somebody has to carry this thing on. Somebody has to move forward. And that's what we're wanting to do. But nonetheless, that mantle fell when Elijah went up. Can anybody guess who the third rapture was? It's okay. I probably won't say nothing either. Jesus. Jesus was raptured. This was a public event. He was the third one called up. And the angels said to the disciples, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus that was called up into heaven shall come again in like manner. The same Jesus. He was raptured. He was called up. And you best believe tonight, if Enoch was raptured and Elijah was raptured and Jesus was raptured, you better believe it, the church is going to be raptured. We one day will come to our last service. We one day will eat our last meal. We will have our last conversation with a friend, a family. So we one day will just be raptured out of here. Walking with God one day, going to work, going to school, doing something, and then one day, in a twinkling of an eye, out of here. Space cadet. Gone. See you later. What a blessing that we have. And this is the blessed hope. This is the blessed hope. This is what we look forward to. That's why we're working so hard each and every day, doing all we can while we can, because Jesus could come back at any moment and we want to be found faithful. Amen. Brother Randy, if you want to come, we'll just play an instrumental, whatever you may have, brother, but that's the message tonight. I just wanted to talk about the last promise in prayer. Again, you have to take this stuff, at least I do. I have to take it in small doses. It's a whole lot to digest. And I'm not one for just spouting off a bunch of stuff and confusing everybody. I want to give it little by little. Again, Revelation 22, verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The last promise of the Bible. Then he says, amen. Here's the last prayer of the Bible. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the message tonight. The last promise and prayer of the Bible. We looked at the differences, beliefs, verses, and the word various. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, God. It's so hard to, I don't know, Lord, we live in this world. We have challenges. We're so easily distracted. I guess it's hard, Lord, to live each day like it could be our very last day. I mean, it could. We could pass away. The rapture could happen. But truly, we're not promised another day. And truly, you could come back tonight. Help us, Lord, to have our hearts right, be working for you, set our affection on things above. The Bible even says that there's a crown for those who love His appearing. And Father, that crown will be just given back to you for all you've done for us. We love you today. We love you tonight. Bless this time of invitation if someone needs to come. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray tonight, feel free to do so. Nobody comes, we'll close. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here today, this morning, and the ladies that went to the CLU meeting and then the service tonight. Thank you so very much for coming supporting the church. And good, so good to have our visitor come back with us tonight. And hope you've enjoyed the day and just make yourself at home. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? All right. Well, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everybody be safe. And tell somebody you love them before you leave. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely on Wednesday. Help us love our neighbor. Help us, Lord, just tell everybody we love them while we have them. Because we just may not know what a day may bring. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our church families. Thank you for your blessings. God, help us to just present our bodies a living sacrifice. Just live our life for you as we live from day to day. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. You're dismissed.